Good morning. All right, let's pray first. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, and we pray that as we go into your word, that you reveal your heart, Lord. Give us a revelation, fresh revelation of who you are, Lord, and place it into our hearts, God, the things that you tell us in your word. Place it in our hearts deep inside, that we may act on those words, God, when we follow what you tell us to do, really treasure the words that you're speaking to us. We thank you and pray these things in your son's most precious name. Amen. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 25 to 40. Now concerning virgins, I have no command of the Lord, but I give an opinion as one who by the mercy of the Lord is trustworthy. I think then that this is good in view of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be released. Are you released from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But if you marry, you have not sinned, and if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Yet such will have trouble in this life, and I am trying to spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time has been shortened, so that from now on those who have wives should be as though they had none, and those who weep as though they did not weep, and those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice, and those who buy as though they did not possess, and those who use the world as though they did not make full use of it. For the form of this world is passing away. But I want you to be free from concern. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife, and his interests are divided. The woman who is unmarried and the virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. This I say for your benefit, for your own benefit, not to put a restraint upon you, but to promote what is appropriate and to secure undistracted devotion to the Lord. But if any man thinks that he is acting unbecomingly toward his virgin daughter, if she is past her youth, and if it must be so, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin. Let her marry. But he who stands firm in his heart, being under no constraint, but has authority over his own will, and has decided this in his own heart, to keep his own virgin daughter, he will do well. So then, both he who gives his own virgin daughter in marriage does well, and he who does not give her in marriage will do better. A wife is bound as long as her husband lives, but if her husband is dead, she is free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. But in my opinion, she is happier if she remains as she is, and I think that I also have the Spirit of God. Okay. Continuing on, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul is actually giving the same point as we talked about last week, where he's saying that there's no elevated status between married and single. And now he's addressing the singles, or this idea of singlehood being, or because he was talking about marriage in the first part of chapter 7, now he's talking about singleness in the second part. And what he's saying that singlehood has its own advantages, benefits. Not that it's better, but there's just different things about being married, different things about being single. And he says here that it's actually not a command from God. It's actually an opinion from himself. You can read this in verse 25. But I give an opinion as one who by the mercy of the Lord is trustworthy. But at the same time, he's also saying, you know, it would do you guys well to listen to me because my opinion is worth something. In verse 40, he says, I think that I also have the Spirit of God. So he says, I'm being inspired. So at the same time, this is my opinion, but I do have some wisdom, and it's not just my own personal wisdom. This is wisdom that is coming from God. So it would be beneficial for you guys to listen to it. When we read this passage, we do have to understand some important background information, and it's this term in verse 26, the present distress. Now, without understanding or reading this passage in light of understanding this term, you can really get this passage wrong. Because if you read this passage without really understanding present distress, it can really seem like Paul is telling people, you should be single instead of married. If you're married, okay, yeah, it's okay. But really, you should be single. In verse 2 of chapter 7, Paul says, you know, you should marry because of immorality, right? Explained this last week. He's not actually saying, you know, because of immorality, everyone should marry. But there's some nuance behind that. But if you read it just on the surface, you're like, oh, I only should get married because of all the immorality around me. In verse 7 of chapter 7, Paul says, I wish all men were single like myself. So again, the surface reading really makes it seem like Paul is telling people that singlehood is better than being married. And there's a few other verses that would make it seem like Paul is advocating singleness ahead of marriage. Verse 32, he goes, one who is married is concerned about the things of the Lord. And verse 33, he goes, one who is married is concerned about the things of the world. And when we see this dichotomy between God and the world, we always are taught, you know, as Christians to go towards God, because if you're of God, then you're not of the world, and no one can serve two masters, God and wealth, and all this. So it seems to, when we read this, again, we seem to think that being of God is better than being of the world. Or at least in this context, it will make you think that. In verse 38, Paul tells the reader that he who does not give her in marriage will do better, meaning it's better to keep someone in singleness. But again, you have to understand that he's saying, very importantly, verse 26, I think then that this is good in view of the present distress. In light of this current circumstance, it would be better, because of the circumstance, to remain single. Now, we don't really know exactly what this present distress facing the church in Corinth was, whether it was persecution. You can actually see a bit of persecution happening in Acts 20, which is Paul's time in Corinth. Now, he's not writing this as he's in Corinth, but you can see, you can kind of surmise that this persecution would have kept happening. It could also be the cultural environment that surrounded the Corinthians. Let me explain what I mean by that. The marriages at that time weren't how marriages are like now, where, you know, for when I marry Cora, I chose to start talking to her, and I chose to date her, and I chose to, you know, we chose to start dating each other. It's not that I said, you know, you're mine. But it's an individual choice. She chose, I chose. But at back at that time, it was an arranged marriage where they didn't get to choose. And so you also have to remember that not everyone was Christian. There's only a very small population that was Christian. And so what would happen is that people could have been married off to spouses that weren't Christian. Right? And so they're thinking, well, if they're not Christian, I don't know if I should be. And so as a parent, they're probably thinking, maybe it's best not to give away my son or my daughter to this person who's not a Christian. Because from the situation in Corinth, I would think that adultery was fairly rampant. Because one of the major temples in Corinth was the Temple of Aphrodite. And I was reading the commentary, and it said that it had like 1,000 temple prostitutes. So the primary role of a wife was to bear children. And so the men would actually, okay, well, I would sleep with my wife to have children, but I would go to the temple prostitute as well. And so maybe Paul was addressing this cultural issue. It's better to remain single because you want to avoid all of this. Anyways, but he's saying present distress. It could be many, it could be a few things. We don't really know. But whatever the case is, because of this present distress, Paul is saying in his opinion that being single is better. Now, being single does have its advantages. I mean, you can pick up and leave and do whatever you want. Like when I moved to Hong Kong, a few days to pack up all my things in Toronto. The biggest thing that I had to deal with was actually selling my car. And I actually shipped my car off to Vancouver and had my parents sell it for me, which, yay for parents. It was very easy for me to make that decision to pick up and leave Toronto because I had no family. I had no kids to consider. I had no wife. I'm like, hey, what do you think about this decision? I'm like, no, I'm going to go. And so I moved. Now I have to spend a lot of time convincing Cora to let me go play basketball on Saturday morning. So you can see that it's not that being single is so much better, right? But with each state, right? Like I mentioned last week, whether you're single or married, there's advantages to both, right? Paul isn't making a blanket statement, right? Even in spite of how we read it, because if he was making a blanket statement that being single is better, he wouldn't be talking so highly about marriage in other passages, like in Ephesians 5, where he talks about marriage, right? He tells widows in 1 Timothy to get married. And so he's not saying like being single is so much better. Everyone should aspire to be single. Everyone should be single like me. But he's just saying like there's being married is great. Being single is great. And in light of these present circumstances, I actually think it would be better for you guys to be single. See, whether someone marries or stays single, God is pleased if their intentions are pure. I think the point that Paul is making here in this passage is whether you are single, whether you're married, is to be devoted to the Lord. In verse 35, I think he really highlights this point. This I say to your benefit, not to put a constraint on you, restraint on you, but to promote what is appropriate and to secure undistracted devotion to the Lord. Because whether someone was married or single, and he really makes his point that the time is short. In verses 29 to 31, that there is this idea that this life that we have isn't the end all and be all. There is something more beyond this life. And now even this life is not as long as we think it is. This life is not as, how do I put it? We shouldn't put as much stock into this life now as we should think about the life eternal. And I think that that's the point that Paul is making, that this temporal nature of this world applies whether you are single and whether you are married. So how you're living your life now, or he's asking the question, how are they living their lives in a manner worthy of the calling that they have received? He's asking, you know, yes, you're single. And being single, you have, honestly, you do have less things to think about in terms of people that you have to take care of, and you can focus more on the eternal. And so the reflection that I have for us today, or how I think it can apply to us is, you know, whether we are married or single, how are we pleasing the Lord? How are we devoting our lives to Him? How are we, let's look at it this way. Do we use our, whether we're married, or let's just talk of singles for a sec. Do we use our singlehood, do we allow our singlehood to act as an excuse? Do we, you know, God, you know, why am I not dating? You know, until I can't fully live out my life until I am dating. I have so many things that I have to deal with. I have to deal with loneliness. I have to deal with, you know, maybe thoughts that maybe I'm not attractive or no one wants me. And all these things is preventing me from worshiping you fully. I can't come to you fully. Maybe we might not think this, but we might have these sort of attitudes and mindset holding us back, that we're always focusing on the fact that we are single as opposed to, let me just focus on God. And I'm not, you might think it's easy for me to say this because I'm married, but no, I had to deal with this for many years. Like, why am I single? Is it because I'm doing something wrong? Is it because I'm a little overweight? Maybe let me lose some weight. And what all these things did is just took my focus off of God, right? Now, I wouldn't actually say that, I would use my singlehood, like me being single, as an excuse, but that's what really I was doing. I was telling God, like, until you fix this area, I'm not really going to come to you. And so I was using it as an excuse. I was blaming Him. Now, how about for us who are married? Do we use our marriages and families as an excuse that we are too busy to serve God? Like, some people might actually point to the verse and say, well, it says in the Bible that those who are married are concerned about how they can please their spouses. You know, I'm like, well, that's a horrible excuse. Right? Because it also says that we're all members of the body and that we are responsible for building up the body of God. We are all responsible, whether we are married or not. Right? Serving God, you can serve God by building up your own family. When I was reading verses 29 to 31, I had this thought of, well, time is short, right? We know that our lives are only in the temporal. So how am I thinking of my family? How am I serving God through my family? Am I building up my family so that they are focused on the eternal as well? So that they also have this mindset that our lives aren't temporal? Am I educating? Or, I mean, it's hard to educate Jared right now because we're still trying to get him to say please and thank you. Right? It's like, hey, Jared, do you know about the eternal and the temporal? Like, he's not going to understand. But, I mean, even in, if I know this, you know, and I see certain behaviors at home that aren't necessarily eternity-focused, even if it's in me or my wife, like, am I actually bringing this issue up? Am I sitting down in the corner and I'm like, hey, you know, I feel like maybe we're focused too much on the temporal and on the things of this life and, you know, trying to, I don't know, get a bigger apartment or registering Jared for school. Like, are we, and it's not to say we ignore everything in temporal, but is our focus mainly on the temporal? And as I was reading through this, I was thinking, you know, I really want to make sure that our family grows up, like my son grows up and any future children that we have, they grow up understanding that or being taught that our lives aren't just about now, but that our lives are about eternity. And that, you know, we should really please God. And that's really about doing things with this eternal perspective in mind. Yeah, we can please God in the now, but, you know, our rewards are in heaven. So what are we doing to invest in those rewards? You know, are we doing things that last and not just doing things or investing in things in the form of this world and that is passing away? So as Pastor Nate comes up to lead us in worship, let's just reflect, especially on this idea of temporal and eternal. I know Paul talks about so many other things and I didn't really address everything. But I just felt like the reflection for us today was this idea of our temporal lives versus the eternal. You know, do we have eternity in mind? Because it can be so easy just to focus on our day-to-day. Because at times it feels like we're drowning in the day-to-day. Like we can't even manage our day-to-day, let alone think about 1 month down the road, 1 year down the road. But that's what God has called us to. He's called us for eternity. And if he's called us for eternity, there is something in us, the ability, because he has placed that ability in us to think about the eternal. And so let Holy Spirit speak to you. You know, just ask him, Lord, you know, if we are drowning in the day-to-day, ask him, God, you know, how can I take myself out of this perspective? Just let him speak to you, and I know that he'll just bring things to your mind and just remind you of what he is able to do through you. So let's pray.
Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. Everything, all I am and all I have to bring, I will give to you my everything. All I am and all I have to bring, I will give to you my everything. All I am and all I have to bring, I will give to you my, and I will follow, my heart surrendered, my Jesus, I am yours. And I will follow, my life in your hands. My Jesus, I am yours. And I will follow, my heart surrendered. My Jesus, I am yours. And I will follow, my life in your hands. My Jesus, I am yours. Everything, all I am and all I have to bring, I will give to you my everything. All I am and all I have to bring, I will give to you my everything. Though none go with me, though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back.
As we were worshiping, I was just reminded of what Paul wrote in the beginning of chapter 7, is that we each have a gift from God, and for us, I think, you know, whatever stage of life that we're in, and I'm not even talking about being married or being single, whatever stage of life that you're in, you know, God has we are in this this stage for a particular reason. We are in this season for a particular purpose. And it's not up to us to tell God that he is wrong, but it's up to us to be in this purpose, to live out this purpose. And I remember so many times, just as I was sitting there, just so many times where I was angry and bitter and confused and frustrated at the season I was going through. And I want to give an encouragement for any of us here today or listening online that is going through this time, that, you know, God sees and God hears. And this is an opportunity for us to, you know, really thrive despite whatever we're going through, and to really please God. To really take our current situation and just to glorify him, no matter what we're going through. So, Lord, I just pray for all of us, God, no matter what season or stage in life we're going through, Father, may we look to always glorify you. May we look to please you, God. May we not just look to the temporal, God, our current lives, our day-to-day, but have a perspective of eternity, Lord. We just ask, Holy Spirit, you open our eyes to that. Help us see the reality, God, and just give us that strength to continue, Lord, even though when things might be difficult, when it might be hard to stomach our current circumstances, Lord. Give us that strength, Father. We thank you, Lord. Turning to our community prayer focus, let's pray for those in community that have cancer and are undergoing chemo radiation therapy and other surgery. Let's just pray for God's healing hand to be on them, his strength to sustain them as they go through these treatments. Let's pray for those in our community that are sick and yet have to receive the word of Christ. Let's pray for friends and family of these afflicted people. And just pray for God to sustain everyone involved that are praying for them. Let's pray for those in a community suffering from various infirmities. Let's pray for those in our community looking for jobs. Let's pray for God to open doors and just for them to have the wisdom and discernment in evaluating any opportunities that come their way. Turning to our mission focus, let's pray for SP Singapore, SP Indonesia, and SP New York. Let's pray for our education ministry, Noah's Ark, the youth, and the college students. Let's pray that these kids, students, teens, young adults throughout all ages would just come to encounter God throughout these ministries. Let's pray for our praying healing ministries, the IP, Well, and River. Let's pray that God uses our ministers, our intercessory prayer warriors mightily to pray for his purposes, to see people come into healing. Let's just pray for these ministries. Let's pray for tonight's outreaches, SP Lights and Homey Outreach. Let's pray that as our teams go out, that they're carrying the light of God within them and they just let it overflow, let the love overflow into the lives of the people that they're reaching out to. And lastly, it's pray for SPLI, the wonderful word. I believe this is the last class for the summer. And let's just pray that all the students have a good time and that just come to know God more through the Bible. God, we thank you for this reminder, Lord, that our lives don't just end when we pass away into this life, God, but we have an eternity to look forward to, God, that we have something beyond this life, and it's glorious, Lord, and help us live out this tension, God, where we're in this world, Lord, but we're also looking to the next life, God, the next world. So, God, we thank you. Lord, we pray these things in your Son's most precious name. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time.